start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York, these vagabond shoes.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. We are celebrating our 100th podcast today. Okay, well,
33rd.
That's pretty good, though. I can't think of any Buccaneer.
Literally a third of the way there.
I can't think of any Buccaneer who wore 33. Can you, Reynolds?
No.
No, I don't know that anyone has ever. Maybe Dave Greenwood
Jerry
back
Ellison?
In the day. No,
Jerry
he was 37,
okay,
I believe. Right. But anyway, we
Did
are here.
Did Jerry McNichols wear 33?
I don't think so. It doesn't matter. He
doesn't matter.
Okay. Wears a new jersey these
technically
days anyway.
He's not a Buccaneer.
Okay. Well,
they really could have used Jeremy McNichols today, by the
no,
way.
No, they could not have.
No? Okay. Well, anyway, fellas, this was this is weird. The Buccaneers won.
Yes.
But the end of the game was bizarre to me. And I think we all were kind of puzzled at Dirk Cutter's method of doing things. Now, when we talked to Dirk after the game, Dirk said that's the percentages, that's what you do. All the Buccaneer players seem to be behind him and support him. And in the end, the Buccaneers won, and it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a ballsy move, in my opinion, to do that, because he was setting himself up for second-guessing like no other second-guessing.
I feel like that was more ballsy than like playing against the percentages.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, trusting Nick Folk like that was almost more ballsy than doing something else.
I think the thing is the reason why it was so questionable and so ballsy was because Nick Folk missed two field goals and an extra point in this game. So that's 7 points the Bucs left right there on the field. And when you look at what is an extra point? Is that 32-yard field goal?
Yeah, around that area.
Okay.
So the game winner was a 34-yard field goal. Once the Buccaneers got the ball down to the Giants' 13-yard line, Dirk Cutter threw in the white towel.
He's going through his notes here, folks.
Yeah, and he said, we're good enough there. We don't need any more yards. Matter of fact, we're going to back up 3 yards.
That was so weird.
Okay, we're going to take three
that
knees.
That was so weird.
And we're going to back up 3 yards, and we're going to make this a 34-yard field goal attempt for Nick Folk. Instead of maybe, you know, how about just taking Winston, snapping the ball to himself, hiking it, and then just plowing right behind Ali Marpet and maybe picking up 4 or 5 more yards? As Rick Stroud, our colleague with the Tampa Bay Times, said, if that field goal attempt had been from 35 yards, we might have had another doink, and it might have hit the left upright.
Yeah, that one snuck in. It wasn't right down the middle by
no.
any stretch. And listen, as the father of a kicker, I don't
Alan
trust.
Alan Cross, the kicker?
I don't trust. He can.
Oh, okay.
I don't trust any kicker. I don't trust my son, either one of them.
Did
Douglas
you think he was
going to
make it, Mark?
No. Well,
Did you think he was going to make it?
I can't say that I did.
Okay. Trevor, did you think he was going to make it? Did you think he was going to make the kick?
Yes.
Okay. I did not think he was going to make it. I didn't. I didn't have that feeling inside.
I thought he was going to make it just because, like, it's a 35-yard kick. If you don't make it, you suck.
But he had already missed two this year.
Two field goals. He's missed two extra points.
I'm totally on the train of Cutter's mentality during that last drive was pretty crazy. But then, like, yeah, if you ask me point blank, did I think he was going to make the kick? Yeah, I did. Just because if you don't, you just straight up suck.
Well,
I don't know.
Mark, you said it was weird that last drive. Jameis Winston goes 5 for 5, 55 yards, mm-hmm. through a beautiful pass.
Ran the ball for a first down at one point.
Yeah, a ballsy pass to Cam Brayton.
On a play, he could have run the ball.
That's
yes. not even really in the playbook, Dirk Cutter was saying. Something that Cam and Jameis have been doing after practice.
Yeah.
And Dirk gave him the go-ahead on a crucial 3rd and 3 yeah. or whatever it was.
He could have run that ball and got the first down,
yeah.
couldn't he?
Yes, he could have.
Ballsy moves all over the place going around.
Winston's
and listen, we're not here to critique or hammer. I'm just saying it was a bizarre ending to a football game. But you know what? It panned out. I'm just saying, Dirk Cutter has a lot bigger set than I have. That's all I got to say.
Listen, if you go back and look at the TV replay of that, and I haven't yet, but Trevor, I'm with you. I thought that there was an opening there for Winston on the right side of the offensive line. He was looking at Brayton the whole way. That was obviously the design play call. And that was 3rd and 1 from the Giants' 39-yard line. I bet he sneaks through there, and he probably picks up 15, 20 yards before he gets tackled by a linebacker or a corner safety.
That's Jameis Winston, probably 10 to 12 yards.
Okay,
let's not
fine.
Get crazy.
But I'm saying, like,
he's no Eli Manning.
That's
wheels.
A much higher percentage play in terms of success than lofting a ball over Landon Collins right into the arms of Cam Brady. It was a beautiful pass.
They did that
Come
a couple
on,
times,
let's be
man.
Fair to Jameis. He showed incredible amounts of
he
touch.
Did.
I'm just kidding. On that play,
no,
he did.
Yeah.
No, there was other throws in the game.
The same
his touches. Just, that's not his forte, that
no,
touch.
It's
you know
not.
What I mean? But you know what? You know what Jameis is? Jameis loves and thrives in those situations where he's not thinking. He's just reacting and doing and playing football. And when you harness the guy and try and make him a, you know, we're going to run the football, we're going to throw it when we have to kind of a guy. Jameis is like Dirk said the other day, running backs need to get in the rhythm. Jameis is a guy that really needs to get in the rhythm.
Well,
and
he got into a rhythm at the end when it counted. And he started off in a rhythm too. I mean, the Buccaneers jumped on the board. 13 should have been 14 points, but touchdowns right off the bat.
What did they? Oh, they decided not to go for an extra point?
Yeah, they just elected to not.
Yeah, they're like, we're good.
Yeah,
we'll take the six and go.
Yeah. That's pretty much what happened. Jameis, 22 of 38 for 332 yards. Was sacked once, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Mark, one of those plays that you were talking about, those kind of unscripted, just Jameis plays, was when I thought he was going to get sacked at like four or five times in the pocket right before halftime.
Yeah. Oh,
and he's
one.
looking, and then finds Evans, just kind of like runs up a little bit, doesn't cross the line of scrimmage, throws a beautiful pass that only Mike could get, which was a nice safe pass. It was a pass that was either going to be caught by Mike, a big leaping 6'5" wide receiver, or it was going to be an overthrow. So it wasn't a dangerous pass that was going to get picked off. And Mike came down with the ball. Looked like a touchdown at first. They celebrated. Instant replay said, nope, back it up. He was actually down on
the
half-yard line. And, Trevor, what happened after that? Of course, run up the middle, right? With Jacquizz Rodgers up the middle, up the gut?
No, that's not what happened.
What happened?
Sure they did.
They threw a toss play.
Fake news.
They elected to just kick off.
Yeah,
they
we're good.
Just took
we'll stop it right here.
No,
we'll just
good.
Give the Giants the ball
they
here.
All right, here's what happened. They ran a toss play, which was dumb.
Why?
And then they ran a different pass play.
They threw which should have been a touchdown. The fade to Mike.
Yes, they threw the fade to Mike. Which okay, so if any of the plays, I'm okay with that one. That's the one I'm okay with,
right?
Because you know you bet on Mike Evans there, and then
he cashed in the first time, one on one for a touchdown.
The third
in the
play,
first quarter.
You can say whatever you want, like oh, it went right through Brady's hands, whatever, blah blah blah. You shouldn't be in that situation anyways.
Yeah, run
that's,
the ball,
and like
pound
even if Brady catches it, he was going outside of the end zone, so who knows if he catches it and he's in the end zone, whatever. Like that was.
But let's go back to that play you were talking about to get down there, Scott. And that's my point. If Jameis Winston then that pass to Mike Evans, it was down at the half yard line. Mm-hmm. If Jameis Winston is in the pocket, and that was the play design, and he throws that, I don't know that he completes it. But he gets out of the pocket. He's on the move. He's improvising. That's where this guy.
That's right.
Is
where
absolutely
he's special.
The best.
Yeah,
and,
that's where he's special.
And, you know, that's the crazy thing with Jameis is I understand, you know, Dirk's preference to have him be that, you know, classic clean
drop back pocket
passer. But we've just seen it time and time again, going back to his Florida State days. You know,
he's just never going to be that, I don't think.
He's just not going to be
and
a
I
strong
think that's okay.
suit,
I think that's okay.
Okay, sure, sure.
But here's the thing that gets me is you know, the Buccaneers came out and talked about the run ad nauseum or the lack thereof last week. Jacquizz Rodgers, you know, at halftime has 8 carries for 46 yards. It's 5.8 yards per carry. He had a 36-yard run.
Yeah.
So they were running the ball. Trevor is first and goal from the half-yard line, and you draft Ali Marpet in the second round, and then you move him to center after a great first couple of seasons at guard.
And you give J.R. Sweezy $5 billion.
And you run
dollars.
It away from
yes,
him.
Yes. Yeah. It's like you have those two guys for a reason. A high premium draft pick and a guy that you know is what
how often,
$7 million
how often
a year?
Does a quarterback sneak get a yard? Just one
Listen,
yard. I'm just talking about
could,
1 yard.
Every time.
Every
Tom
time, right?
Tom Brady is the master
right?
of the quarterback every sneak. They get
time.
Up on the ball quick, boom, they snap it and go, and he just rarely gets
All
stopped.
You need
but
is a yard.
It's not going to happen with Dirk Cutter as head coach. He
okay.
said it again
Why?
Last week or whoever, or at
Why?
Some point. He doesn't like
Why?
He said, this is what he said.
Brady's 40.
He
yes.
said,
he's
some
frail.
Guys have a knack
he's
for running a quarterback
vegan,
sneak.
Okay? It's he's not getting enough protein.
It's time
we
to give Jameis Winston another
here.
Chance.
He's not going to do it. Last year they ran it one time. Jameis Winston fumbled. I can't remember what the game was, but it was a home game here. and he got creamed.
I'm but just going to say you got to give the fella another chance.
Uncle Stan, did you put any money on this game?
Well, Jameis on my fantasy team.
You know, the last fantasy you had was with Doris Day. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, that's true.
There's some weird guy over here on the glass over here. Turn around, Reynolds.
Yeah. I see those guys. I want you to read this, Trevor, right here. Okay, you've got – this is the first play.
The top line or the
– This is the first play of the third quarter.
Okay.
Okay. What does that say?
That says, Jay Rogers up the middle to TB30 for 5 yards.
Okay. So – on the first play, in the very first play, in the second half, they ran Jacquizz Rodgers up the middle
yes.
for 5 yards. Why wouldn't you incorporate that play call into first and goal from the half-yard line? I don't understand that.
He's going to bug Scott for a long time.
Yeah, he's highly upset. Listen,
if this team doesn't make the playoffs, he's going to go back to that goal line stand, even though they won the game, and say that this is where it all went wrong.
Guys, this was almost the Los Angeles Rams game of last year. This was almost that game with the missed extra points and the missed field goals and the crazy, wacky endings. This just happened to go in the Bucs' favor.
Case Keenum was playing. That's the difference.
But
I know, but he was undefeated against the Buccaneers, and Eli Manning was up until this point.
It's okay. It's all brilliant play calls, even that, if you end up winning the game.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No.
Is this going to be good enough to beat a team that's not 0-4, though? Is this type of effort in play calling going to be good enough to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots?
There you go. Apparently, we're on to New England.
Apparently, you don't watch Jimbo Fisher call games on Saturdays.
I try not to.
The red zone woes.
I don't watch any of that crap.
Look, he makes
my own bad
he makes their cutter look like Bill Belichick. I mean, he's Jimbo's worst, trust me. But no, we all looked at
each
other.
How does he make Jim McElwain look?
And
does he have whiter teeth?
Well,
because that's all I'm looking for, really.
A dynamite smile.
I was going to say, a crack smoker looks better than I can't believe it's not butter.
It's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not butter. You know, the good news is when I evacuated from the hurricane, I went to Gainesville because I knew that those bright yellow teeth were going to be able to lead me into the darkness if we lost power. Just follow the teeth. But
listen, hold on. I got to give both you and I props, Mark, because on the podcast on Friday, we talked about I was vehemently saying the Bucs need to run the ball and establish the run in this game. They got to come out and pound it. And you said Jameis Winston has got to be the guy that rises up,
step up and
be that that quarterback that can put the team on his back and win the game.
Yep.
And, you know, the Buccaneers bounce back with 111 yards on the ground, 4.8 yard per carry average, and that's factoring in the three carries for minus 3 yards at the very end of the game. So Tampa Bay did a pretty good job running the ball. They carried it 23 times, and that, I think, really kept the Giants at bay in terms of what they wanted to do. They only sacked Winston one time. They couldn't, they couldn't dedicate too many resources to the secondary. They had to, you know, to really play Tampa Bay honestly on defense. And Winston, when he has a running game, we can see what happens. Three touchdowns, no interceptions. 113 quarterback rating, and I thought that's complimentary football and offense, and that's where the Buccaneers.
He was a very complimentary.
And Dirk said after the game that Winston was the key to the offensive success.
You know why?
His command and his ability and his leadership down the stretch, you know, made a difference.
How many turnovers do you have?
Zero.
Yep.
It's all that matters.
How many did you have last week?
It's all that matters. More than zero.
Yeah, he had three.
Well, now listen, the flip side of that is, thankfully, there weren't any turnovers for the Buccaneers offense because the Buccaneer defense did not get another takeaway.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
In this game.
No sacks.
Jeez, what is this, Negative Nancy Sunday?
Yes.
No, this is
yes.
fair and
I need,
honest reporting.
No,
I agree
this
with
is objective
you.
Reporting.
No, I mean, you got to look at it. You can't just gloss over and say they won and there's no deficiencies
the last
on the football
time,
team.
Are you sure?
There are.
The last time that the Buccaneers recorded a sack, and of course it was the only one this year, was against Mike Lennon in the second quarter. So the Buccaneers have now gone 10 quarters without a sack.
Was that was Noah Spence's, right?
That was Noah Spence's.
The forced fumble sack?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Buccaneers also have not forced a takeaway on defense in 10 quarters also. The Buccaneers rank dead last in sacks with one. The San Francisco 49ers are second with four. The Jacksonville Jaguars, through four games, have 23 sacks on the season.
And what's the Jaguars' record?
2-2.
Yeah, exactly. Two losses. I'm just kidding. No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, look, They're not going to be a playoff team if they average one sack every 12 quarters. It just doesn't work.
But
that
here's
way.
Okay. So here's a question: like, we know the stats are there and everything like that, but
what's going to happen?
The main question is,
what can they do?
What
about it?
Happens? Yeah. Like, can they do anything about it? We sit here and we're going to time like we're going to write about this all the time. You guys are going to listen to it. You're going to read about it, blah, blah, blah. But, like, this roster is what it is. Well, they're not, like...
You're right.
But who are they going to bring in? Well, nobody.
I think what they're going to do is, if you look at the state of Florida, okay, it's got a lot of natural wonders. And one of those, actually, is up there in St. Augustine. It's the Fountain of Youth. I say drive Robert Ayers up there and give him a gallon of that.
You know what? Ass you right
know
in
what?
There.
You know what? I think he had a little of that today. This was by far his best game we've seen him play.
He did very well against the run. Very well.
It was five, his best game, yes.
Yeah, five tackles. Yes. He was my pick to click. I'm not hating on Robert Ayers. He's my pick to click. I predicted the Buccaneers winning 24-23. Sorry, I was off by a point. Okay, they won 25-23. But at the end
doesn't
of the day,
doesn't count. Price is right. Rules can't go over.
I had Robert Ayers as my pick to click. I thought this was going to be the game where the Buccaneers would come out and break that streak and the dubious streak and get to Eli Manning a couple times. This offensive line for the Giants is not very good. And I think, Trevor, you said it on the last podcast. If they can't get to Eli Manning with this offensive line, which may be the worst in football.
And they didn't.
What does that say?
It doesn't. I'll tell you what it says. It means that you better get used to these dramatic games. Because unless Winston continues to not throw turnovers, which we all know Winston.
Yes.
He's going to throw turnovers.
Yeah.
And so Bucs fans better get used to these dramatic games that are going down the wire, because if you can't get pressure on a quarterback, they're going to start playing a lot of really good ones here coming up. You know, like Cam Newton's playing better. Matt Ryan's who he is. You know, they play Aaron Rodgers. Buffalo just
The Carolina Panthers. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills beat the Falcons.
Just beat the Falcons today.
In Atlanta.
Like, yeah, and it's like...
The Carolina Panthers beat the Patriots in New England.
Yeah, it doesn't... It's not going to get any easier, and the offensive lines aren't going to get worse. And that's the problem: is that I don't know where this pass rush is going to come from. It's got to come somewhere.
Trevor, what happens if you don't get to Drew Brees or Matt Ryan or Cam Newton?
He torches you.
Well, we saw what happens when Case Keenum doesn't get pressured, and he's not half the quarterback that those two guys are.
How dare
mentioned.
You?
You know, I will say this: I thought let's talk some positives here.
I'm going to tell Case's parents you said that.
You do that. In fact, I'll call them and tell them. You realize they're both deceased, so that's not a very.
What are the positives? Wow. Are they going to beat the Patriots Thursday night, Mark?
Yeah, they're going to beat the Patriots.
You think so?
Oh, I know so.
You're going on record.
Mark it. It's okay. Read my prediction thing.
I think they're
going to
beat.
Pace.
I think they're going to beat the Patriots.
12-4 this year.
I don't.
I'm not putting any money.
I was
on
the
it.
One. I was the only one that said the Giants were going to win this game.
I do not think that they're going to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, you were. How'd that work out? Who was your pick to click? Vernon Hargraves?
No. I don't remember.
Keith Dandy?
I don't remember who my click to pick was.
Listen, the real pick to click today was Brent Grimes. Are we in agreement with that?
God, who the hell was
Well, actually, my pick to click, Jameis Winston, was the pick to click. But
True.
Brent Grimes,
maybe
defensively, he and Gerald McCoy were outstanding today.
Yeah.
I thought Gerald... You know, again, we talked about that. I know fans look
How
at the stat
How many holding
sheet.
Calls
look,
were not look, called I, today?
Exactly. Look at the defensive stats real quick and read
two quarters. Two quarterback hits, one of which was from Gerald, one of which was from Chris Baker. Okay.
But look at Gerald's individual. What did he end up with today? I'm just curious what he ended up with today.
Gerald McCoy.
Well, my click to pick was Noah Spence, so that didn't go well.
Four tackles, three tackles for loss, one quarterback hit.
Well, that's a decent day, but, you know, fans still want to see the sacks. This guy was beyond disruptive. You know, again, there's no stat for disruption per
He's
se.
He's just not getting any help.
You know, that's it. It's a one-man show inside.
Yeah, we've written this really, I know, back-to-back weeks for sure, but McCoy is always going to get his.
Yeah.
That's not a question. It's not, McCoy's got to show up this game. McCoy's an all-pro player every single game, but it doesn't matter because he plays the defensive tackle position, and you get tackles for loss. Like, he had three tackles for loss today, which is great.
Yes.
But if you're talking about, like, taking out a pocket, even if McCoy blows by two guys, somebody else picks him up, then there's supposed to be a hole somewhere where you can get by and get to the quarterback.
There were times we're watching this game where it seemed like they were stunting and twisting themselves out
it's
of
like
pass
they go
rush
right into each other, man.
When the fans go back, if you were at the game and you taped it and you go back and look at it, I'll be curious to see it too. There were so many times where it looked
just
like
don't
these
tweet
guys
clips about it.
were clogging the middle where they would have three guys, sometimes even a linebacker coming in, sometimes four guys, all within basically two gaps. leaving a lot of room on the outside, mm-hmm. and Eli Manning was able to move, slide left or right, and find open guys. But I do understand to a degree because Eli Manning is known as a guy who steps up in the pocket. And we did see that today when there was no inside pressure.
He ran
pressure.
For a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, he got flushed out of the pocket. There was nobody there. Everyone was kind of bottled up in the middle of the field. Will Clark, the new defensive end, you know, got too far upfield. That created an open running lane for Manning, and he went up there and scored a rushing touchdown in the Buccaneers. We did see a couple of blitzes today, and I go back to what Monty Kiffin told me when I first started covering the Buccaneers way back in the day. And I'll say this. Sometimes when you blitz, it's not about having the linebacker get the sack. Sometimes the linebacker is supposed to crash into an offensive lineman. That frees up a defensive lineman to make the sack.
Right.
But the one thing I noticed was on one sack opportunity, there was actually a crease, and Adarius Lanton kind of, instead of taking the crease and going through there and putting some pressure on Eli Manning and maybe getting a sack, he just kind of turned his body sideways and crashed into a guard to try to free up, I think, McCoy. And it looked like that he did that and missed a complete opportunity to get a sack. So I know he was doing his job on that, but I think that's, you know, that you only have so many opportunities to get sacks, and sometimes when you get a sack, it becomes a sack fumble. And I just think that there are some fundamental problems with the Bucs' pass rush right now. It's not all just the pass rushers themselves, the actual defensive linemen doing this. I think some of this is scheme-related, and Mike Smith's going to have to figure it out pretty quickly because whatever they're doing and have been doing this season has not been working.
Well, you know, and Tom Brady's not going to sit back there for 7-8 seconds.
No.
You know, he's going to get the ball out of his hands a lot like Drew Brees does. And now he, you know, occasionally when they're trying to run deep routes, he will try and, you know, stay back there. And I will say this about Tom Brady, one of the toughest quarterbacks, too, for a guy, especially his age. He's not afraid to wait to the last second to get rid of the ball, even though he knows he's going to get hammered. But he tends to step up. He's not going to move left or right very often. So the Buccaneers have got to create some pressure on the inside with Baker and Gerald McCoy again. But they can't, as you were saying, they can't come up with these schemes that basically run themselves out of tackles and sacks and out of plays by clogging and running into each other. It was Keystone Cops at times inside.
It was. And, you know, you said, hey, can we talk about some positives? Here's a positive. Now, keep in mind, yes, there were times where Gerald McCoy was held and flags should have been thrown. But just from a football fan, or in our case, a football reporter's job, one thing I really enjoyed about this game was the referee stayed the hell out of it. I can't remember the last time I've been a part of an NFL game, or any football game for that matter, that had a combined 5 penalties for 19 yards. Now, keep in mind, there were a couple flags that were declined, especially on the Giants' two-point conversion attempt, but the Buccaneers were flagged 4 times for 19 yards. The Giants were flagged 1 time for no yards because
that's a good point.
That was down there. I really enjoyed that.
It was a fun game to watch.
It was
a really fun game to watch.
The refs stayed the hell out of it. There wasn't any controversial, you know, bad calls per se. I mean, I think the instant replay showed Mike Evans was down at the half-yard line. And yeah, again, there should have been some times where Gerald was not given holding calls that I think he deserved. But by and large, the refs stayed out of this game and let him play.
Well, that's the good news. And listen, from a momentum standpoint, getting this win was huge for this team. Talking to the players in the locker room afterwards, you know, that was their biggest takeaway. Because I asked them, you know, I asked Mar Dotson there late after Jameis' press conference, you know, beating a team like the Giants, and while they were 0-3, they were a dangerous team, and they're a team still with a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and Eli Manning, 2 Super Bowl rings. You know, do you get any extra satisfaction out of that? And DeMar basically said, you know what, we get satisfaction out of, we got to win, and we needed that win because now it's short week time, and it's on to the Patriots. And Dirk talked about that a little bit, about how difficult it is, the turnaround that's going to be for the Buccaneers next 4 days.
And I'll say this. Last year, when they had this exact same stretch, a home game on Sunday and then a home game on Thursday.
Have they won 6 home games in a row?
Yeah, just getting ready to say that. They've won 6 home games now in a row dating back to last year.
Think about that.
It's been a long time.
Like the coaches the Bucs have gone through.
Yes.
And the crappy home record that they've had.
The Shiano.
They have won 6 home games in a row. That's pretty cool.
That hasn't happened since John Gruden.
Really?
Yeah, it has not happened
since John Gruden. Shiano was here 2 years. Lovey was here 2 years. 4 years. combined, I don't think they won six home games.
Agreed. And they've won six in a row now. And again, that hasn't happened since John Gruden did it, I want to say. And he had a long enough span to do that. So that's incredible. And that, to me, is the sign of a playoff team. When you can...
You got to win.
DeMar said it. He said, Dirt Cutter keeps reminding us, win our home games, split the road games, we're in the playoffs.
That's right. Now, what I think keeps this team out of the playoff discussion right now is the lack of pass rush.
Oh, 100%.
And takeaways. 100%. They've got to fix that. And,
yeah.
And to their credit, Mike Smith and the defensive coaches and players really kind of caught fire halfway through the season. I think the disappointing thing, though, is you thought that the Buccaneers defense would pick up from where it left off, and it looked like that might be the case in week one against Mike Glennon and the Bears, but they just have gone ice cold these last two games, and they really have got to catch fire for this football team to really, you know, make me feel confident that they can win 10 or 11 games and get to the playoffs. Because right now, and this is going to depend on what happens on Thursday night. If they beat the Patriots, then, yeah, that certainly improves their chances. But, you know, if they're 2-2, that's 500 football still, and they have a ways to go in terms of improving on the defensive side of the ball before I can say that, yeah, this is going to be a playoff team.
Scott,
no doubt about it.
You talked to Jock Smith earlier this week, mm-hmm. and he kind of just talked about his health. And we all know that players love to say, like, oh, yeah,
is
I'm playing.
Is it Jock
all this.
Or Jack? What would you say? I would say Jack.
Well, it's Jacquees Smith,
so
but
Jock
the players
Smith.
Call him Jack.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right, Jack. Well, I'm not
I
a
think
player.
That's because Lovey Smith couldn't say Jacques.
Maybe so.
It's not Jacques.
So he was.
It's not like Jacques Cousteau. It's,
sure.
It's Jacquees.
So he.
Jacquees.
He was. He was active today, but didn't play a lot. Right?
I love the Spanish dialect of that name. That's just beautiful. Go ahead. Just rolls off your
tongue. He was active today, but like obviously didn't have an impact.
Yeah.
Do you think that he has an impact on Thursday? Do you think he plays more?
I think he has to.
Dirk warned us on Friday, guys. We were there.
No,
Dirk
yeah,
said, let me look. This guy hasn't played football in over a year.
So was he only active just because they're so thin at linebacker?
I don't know. I mean, I don't.
I would assume because they're not bringing
up anybody from the practice
squad.
We had to look after the game on the participation chart to even see if he was in the game, to be honest with you, because I don't remember him being on the field.
Was he?
Yeah.
He might have been in special teams.
Yeah,
okay.
He might have played some special teams because, really, Ryan Russell and Will Clark were the subs at defensive end for Will Golston, Robert Ayers, and Noah Spence. Clark played a pretty decent amount of plays, and he's a relative newcomer to this Tampa Bay team. Played some inside snaps at defensive tackle. Also played some right end as well.
As we wrap up this podcast episode 33, isn't it nice though that we're at a point where we're somewhat critiquing a win. I mean, how long has that been? It's been a long time, Scott, to be honest with you.
That's a very fair point. And again, we're not trying to be negative Nancy's on this Pewter Nation podcast.
There's expectations
here.
That this team
yes.
has set up, the
mm-hmm.
media
exactly.
and the fans. Mm-hmm. And they've got to meet those expectations
and
to be a success.
I don't think they're unrealistic because we see them.
Yeah.
You know, like we see brilliant play calling like the O.J. Howard pass. And we see great things like how Cameron Brate got open and the pass that Jameis had. And, like, we see these little things like this, and we're like, man, if you string those together more often, you're
right.
talking about a team that could beat a lot of good football teams.
But what you have seen, and just go back to last year, what you saw from the Atlanta Falcons, what you saw from the Tom Brady-led New England Patriots, what you saw, from some of those teams that got deep into the playoffs, even the Dallas Cowboys with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back, what you saw from those teams, though, was they didn't leave points – out on the field.
Yeah.
There were times when they had an opponent on the ropes where they just knocked him out. And this team should have been up 17-0 against
mm-hmm.
the Giants
yeah.
and gone for the knockout. And instead they had to battle back after they got knocked down, to pull this out on the cards and in a narrow victory.
Does Jason bring in a kicker for a trial this week? Yes or no?
No. Nick Folk won the game. And now keep in mind, so did Roberto Aguayo
in Carolina.
In Carolina after
following.
Missing a couple.
Yep, yep.
And we saw how that ended.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I it wouldn't surprise me. I'm going to say there might be some guys kicking on Tuesday. Well, actually, Monday, because the Buccaneers are full schedule of practice.
It's
I'm going to take that
week.
Back. I'm going to take that back. They're probably not this week. It's a short week.
Yeah,
this week
you're
going to be
right.
crazy anyway. But
Jason will probably update some of his contact list. Though.
But another one out of three, and, was it one out of three or two out of four today?
He was two out of four.
And one out of, two on extra points? You know,
it was
that
2 out of 3.
Another one of those days.
No, wait, you're right.
Another one of those days, and we will see kickers on Tuesday over behind one bucket.
What about me?
Trying out.
No. Can I try out?
No.
Why not?
No.
That's what's just your distance, Trey?
He's good from 40. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, but I'm pretty automatic from within 40.
You know, you've never kicked a football with a pass rush in an NFL stadium, and you were
well,
probably
the Bucs don't really have one. So I mean, like in practice,
you haven't
it won't
even
be
kicked
a big
one
deal.
With Chris Baker in your ear.
Right.
That's fine.
You know,
right.
Blasting profanities at you.
I get it.
I'm not.
I want to see it.
Well, you know what? Get an agent. Have him call Jason. Set something up.
Oh, I got
week.
An agent.
Yeah. Do you?
I'll talk
no.
to Baker,
no,
and I'll have Baker come out.
I was going to say, if you did, you negotiated a bad contract with us.
I'll have Swaggy come out and just yell at you as you try to attempt those kicks.
Yeah.
What
Mark,
if can
Mark
he
can film it?
Can he like come into the media room this week and like yell at me while I'm writing an article?
Well, yeah, you could. Yeah,
I
we could arrange that for sure. Not a problem.
All right.
Listen, hold on. I think that the one thing we also have to say too is there were no computer reporters harmed during the filming and taping of this,
well,
this podcast.
You're being a little premature here because Trevor still has to unplug everything. So there is a chance of electrocution.
There is.
True.
There is.
You and I are both old. We could literally fall walking out of this booth.
That's true.
So let's not.
Well, let's go
let's
and end this podcast before something.
Well,
awful
we will do
happens.
That. But I also want to let people know that maybe they want to put some money on the game this Thursday.
I'll tell you what. Listen, if you're smart about this. Whether you're a Buccaneer fan or whether you are looking at the numbers and say, you know, maybe I'll take the Patriots. And listen, there are some people out there that they will take the team that is playing their favorite team, and that way they win either way. Either their favorite team loses and they win cash off of that and they feel a little bit better, or they say, ha, you know what, I'm out a couple bucks, but my team won. Who cares? If you're one of those guys, or if you're just somebody that wants to get in on some action, whether it's college football, NFL, other sports, the place to do it is mybookie.ag. We've been talking about this week after week. We all have accounts. We've all put some money down. I have not been that successful yet, but I'm working at my gambling skills.
Don't be a quitter.
I'm not going to be, trust me. And I did win some fantasy football money today, so it's not like I'm a complete loser. But if you want to do something other than fantasy football to win some real cash, do it at mybookie.ag. They are the place to go for your gambling needs. The best thing is we have a special offer. If you mention the word pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R, when you sign up on mybookie.ag, they're going to match your deposit 100%. So if you put in 20 bucks, they're going to give you 40. If you put in 50, they're going to make it 100. If you're a big spender and you drop $500 down there in your initial deposit, they're going to match you, give you $1,000 to start with at mybookie.ag. All you have to do is mention the word pewter. They've got the fastest payouts around the net when it comes to sports action websites. So if you want to win big, put your money down, put your money where your mouth is, do it at mybookie.ag.
All right, fellas, another podcast in the books. Probably not going to have one until Thursday night. Are we going to try and do one about 2 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. Either we'll that or Friday morning.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're definitely going to do something coming up this week.
Okay, here's one thing, too. I want to get this out. Talk to some of the players. I'm going to be mentioning this in my Fab Five. But there's an opportunity for the Buccaneers to have a mini bye week. For Dirk Koetter, you know, he's really done something different with the practice schedule. The Bucs are having practice tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're having practice on Tuesday. They're taking the day off, going through walkthroughs on Wednesday, and then the game's Thursday. Then they're having practice on Friday, the day after the game, probably just a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having everybody in, so there's no victory Friday. They're actually, whether they win or lose, they're coming back to one Buccaneer place. Then Dirk is stringing along 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, to give this team that doesn't have a traditional bye week because they have Hurricane Irma had to move that from week 11 to week 1. And I just think that's a really good thing for the players and for this coaching staff to do that.
It'll be a good thing for some of the injured guys for sure.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. Maybe we'll see Quan Alexander back after the Patriots game.
Maybe we'll see Lavonte David back for the Patriots game.
Very interesting, Mr. Reynolds. All right, we appreciate everybody listening. Make sure to tweet this out, share it. I don't know, if you want to get a billboard, tell people about it, whatever you want to do, spread the word about the Pewter Nation podcast. We do this for you guys, and we enjoy you guys listening. We also enjoy all the feedback. We certainly appreciate it. We'll be back later in the week with another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. For Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next time.